Live on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five. Number one.
Is the Cubs' bullpen leaking oil?
Yes. I don't necessarily know what you call oil here. Perhaps it's runs, hits, and the like. But unfortunately, yes. When you consider what happened on Sunday against the Red Sox and how that game got out of hand, unfortunately, my guys, Cal Ponflex, didn't have the best day. Ryan Pressly suffered that loss. I'm still trying to figure out how he works into all this mix because those were some high leverage innings that he faced. You know, that was an inning where you want to see him do well after Caleb Thielbar came in relief of Cade Horton. He gave up two earned runs in that outing. Then Drew Pomeranz gave up three runs. And then we saw a now moved back Ethan Roberts. You know, he gave up a run just for good measure in that game. And then I don't know what you want to call yesterday in the 12-4 loss to the Royals. That was more unfortunate matters. Although in that case, it was Ben Brown. We're still trying to figure out how he fits into this mix as a whole. But the point is, yeah, I was not concerned about the Cubs bullpen 10 days ago. And now I'm going, ah, man, okay, well, maybe that's a situation where you need to trade for a relief arm. And then, you know, Chris Flexen added to the problem. He gave up five earned runs in that one. I'm not going to mess with John Birdie. He's not really a pitcher. I hate to tell you that. It might be an insult to John Birdie because he went out there and did his job. Actually, outside of his job description.
I mean, yeah, he retired the side.
But in this case, I don't count him as a member of the bullpen. They are leaking oil. Maybe even some transmission fluid.
Oh, that's when you think, oh, I'm leaking oil, and then you take it to the mechanic. He's like, actually.
Do you need the whole transmission replaced? Probably not. Just tighten up some bolts. You know, add a dude. That's pretty much where I'm at with this.
And of course, get some more transmission fluid in there. Look. You said you didn't know what to call it yesterday, the bullpen. I know what to call it. Bad. Bad. Bad.
Sunday and yesterday?
Bad. So here's the thing. They're winning more games than they are losing. That is the ultimate thing about the Cubs, right? The problem is, in the games that they are losing, more times than not, it has been a bullpen issue of late.
Although...
Go ahead.
Your friendly neighborhood sports host is starting to add up some numbers over here.
What kind of numbers are you adding up?
I know Kyle Tucker is a streaky fellow.
He is.
The people who want to move him, no. No. No.
Wait. Are there people who say...
There are multiple people who have reached out to this station and on social media saying that the Cubs should trade him. And I understand that everybody has a crazy trade or two rolling around in your head. I think that's just part of sports fandom. But no! No. However, let's point out that he's batting 196, only has one double and one home run this month. Like, that's it for me. It's the 11 hits, one double, one home run for Kyle Tucker. I know this isn't a bullpen discussion, and I know that his resume overrides this, but if you're wondering why you're not feeling supremely confident right now, that might be one of the reasons.
Well, they're scoring runs, and what I like about is... when one player slumps or doesn't play to the back of his baseball card, other players step up. I will say this, though. His slug has dipped below 500 for the first time since the fourth game of the season in the last week. So that's not good as far as Kyle Tucker and where he is in your order and what he's supposed to be bringing to your order. But I trade him? People are not serious with that.
No, I'm telling you, there are some people who are serious. And I respect the fact that we all have wild trades in our heads. But... you might be onto something with the numbers dipping, but you're right. One team and one hitter does not a team make, Marshall. And that's why it's important to point out on good teams, when somebody has a bit of a dip, the offense is there to pick them up. Or maybe the bullpen is there to settle it down. And sometimes the bullpen's going to have its days. So how are you fixing it?
They need to continue to win more games than they lose, which I have very much confidence that they'll continue doing. It's probably going to come down to those late in the season series against the Brewers. You better have your pitching staff together by then, because I know the Brewers will.
Ugh, God. When you consider the Mizorowski piece of this with Woodruff and Peralta, it just makes me jealous. Jealous!
Number two.
Speaking of Milwaukee, are the Brewers going to lose again this season?
Not if they play, have any more games against the Dodgers. Thankfully, they don't.
I joked that they do seem unstoppable. Do you know why? Because their numbers are outrageous. They're on an 11-game win streak. The Cubs were able to stop in their tracks the Red Sox 10-game win streak. Not the case for that Brew Crew up there. As we mentioned earlier on the show, the Brewers were 16-9 in June compared to the Cubs 13-13. And then they're 13-3 this month. It's the 22nd, and I know there's the All-Star break in the middle of that. But the point is, they do seem unstoppable. What the heck, Brewers? Who's going to beat you? The Dodgers? You swept the Dodgers twice.
Would you like to know who's going to beat them?
Yeah, let's go. Let's
the Seattle Mariners
Google
are going to beat
Brewers
them.
Brewers schedule together.
They're not
going
to lose a day. You know why? Jacob Mizorowski's pitching.
And we've just chalked that up as automatic now, too, so they essentially de facto have three stoppers?
Here's how I know. Because it only took him five starts to become an All-Star. That's how I know Jacob Mizorowski's not losing.
Here's the issue is like later in life, we're like, oh, so-and-so has X amount of All-Stars. You know, like you're an X-time All-Star.
But they are losing tomorrow, afternoon game. Tune in. They'll lose tomorrow. You know why? Because Luis Castillo's on the mound. That dude pitches. Pitches very well. They're at home. The Mariners don't have time to get swept at home by anybody, much less the Brewers. The Dodgers can absorb sweeps. We've seen that.
And then Dave Roberts is like, yeah, we're looking into all of the players you're interested in at the trade deadline.
Yeah. It's almost worse that they got swept because it's like, oh, we really need to go do something, huh? And now they have the resources to go do something.
After getting the top three relievers on the market last in the offseason.
And yet here they are, still looking for, you guessed it, relievers.
What if it's the Marlins? What if the Marlins stop the Brewers' win streak? That would be a fun little twist of fate.
Is that the same Marlins team that got... Wait, did they get swept by the Rockies?
Yes.
Yeah, because the White Sox were the last team in baseball to get a three-game sweep, correct?
Against the Pirates, and now they've won four in a row.
Yeah, red hot. Mm-hmm. Red hot. Mm-hmm. So, yes, they will lose. They will lose tomorrow. They're not going to go... what do they have left? 61 games? They're not going to win the last 72 games of the season. That I can guarantee.
And then they have a three-game set against the Cubs in Milwaukee, and apparently there's something called a GOVX discount.
What is that?
I don't know. It's on the promotion schedule. Somebody knows what it is? Oh, feel free. Oh, half-price tickets in select locations to all Sunday through Thursday home games for military and first responders.
What I like about the Cubs-Brewers series, by the way, is that it's Monday through Wednesday. So it's almost like a last call situation. If you're not in first place or you're falling further behind the Brewers as Monday... Like, let's say that game ends and now you're three games back of the Brewers. Jed Hoyer's going to be like, all right, let me roll up my sleeves and see what else I can do. Because hopefully he's made a deal by then.
Yeah, this trade deadline might make some people make some permanent decisions based on temporary feelings. I'm aware.
Oh, are we talking about my love life back in my 20s or are we talking about baseball?
I tend to think it's also tattoos. What? Tattoos oftentimes are permanent decisions based on temporary feelings. See Euro trip.
Oh, yeah, there's that. Or road trip. Yeah, either one of the trips work in that tattoo situation.
Number three.
The Chicago White Sox have won 36 of 101 games, and four of those 36 wins are in their last four games. That's what we call a winning streak. How many wins will they get over their final 61 games?
Call me crazy, Layla.
Crazy.
Good. I'm glad you did that. Now I can say
this. He just can't sleep.
I'm going to tell you what. How about 31 wins in 61 games?
Wait, does that mean I get my dollar back?
You're going to get your... I told you, I already conceded the dollar. The dollar's coming to you.
Oh, yeah, Robbie, I finally got cash from the ATM. You get $2.
What was that for again? Oh, yeah, the Tigers. Yeah, the
Tigers.
Yeah, they beat the series.
With the Cubs.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Can we make a bet right now, Robbie?
What's that?
Can we make a bet right now?
Yeah, let's make a bet.
Josh Giddey will not get paid more than $25 million per year.
Out of principle, I have to take the bet. So, yeah,
okay,
I'm taking
dollar
the
bet.
Over.
There it goes. There it goes. That 11.9 will be real sweet for him this year. What were we talking about?
11.9?
11.9 million?
Wow.
The qualifying offer, if he doesn't want to.
Oh, okay.
Right. That's less than half.
Hey, man,
that's
he took
25
the bet.
At all.
Samsonite, I was way off.
He could have talked me down, but he didn't. So, $25 million is the bar.
The Bulls are the only team interested.
Exactly. That's my point. Robbie doesn't seem to understand how economics work, but apparently AK is coming around to it. Listen, The White Sox, I have so much faith in this team right now. And it's not the first time I said it. It won't be the last time I've said it. But maybe this time I'll be right.
Guys, I want to take you back to a time.
Oh, here we go.
Let's go to a year ago at this time. Do you know what was happening?
The White Sox were losing a lot of games in a row.
The White Sox were losing 21 games in a row.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And that wasn't their only losing streak that was atrocious, by the way. They also had a 14-game losing streak last season. That's what it took for them to end up with a 41-121 record. That's what it took for them to get the record when it came to the least wins in baseball and the most losses, right? It took massive losing streaks that wrecked your soul, sucked the life force right out of you. That's not this year's team. Best example I can give you is not just the sweep out of the break against the Pirates and the subsequent win, but also the fact that the run differential is remarkably different, as we've discussed. And so therefore, you're thinking that the White Sox are going to be able to put together a decent resume over this time. Now, I do think the trading deadline is going to take a toll on this team talent-wise. I do believe that that is going to happen. I think the trade deadline could even take Luis Robert, if you look at the most recent reports that you guys sent. One of you feel free to back me up on that when it came to the trade deadline.
Yeah, I believe it was Bob Nightingale that put out there that there's some renewed interest in Luis Robert Jr.
As
after this little
be.
Hot streak.
Exactly.
He's a slugger. Let that man slug.
Also, there's never been a better time to be a selling team, right? This is it. So I feel
so
like,
many buyers.
I feel like that's the case. So when it comes to the 61 in and of itself, give me 25.
It was actually John Heyman on MLB Network that said, 8 teams have checked in on Luis Robert Jr., with the Padres being a leading contender to potentially make a move.
Well, look at Gavin Sheets. They got a lot of outfield over
this
there.
This is how
Petco.
They get Dylan Cease back.
Don't do that to me, Robbie. That's inappropriate what you just did. That's inappropriate. That's why your city doesn't deserve a WNBA team.
Ray, what are you talking about? Are you Sophie Cunningham? You're Sophie Cunningham.
I'm not Sophie Cunningham. I do not have a deal with what's the door thing? Ring. Yeah, she has a ring deal, endorsement deal. Sophie Cunningham.
Detroit was a powerhouse when it came to the WNBA back in the day.
Do you know
why we talk about all the WNBA players' star side hustles? Because they're going to be depending on those because they already know how to a supplemental income. When that old CBA comes to play, I can see them digging in their heels. We're way off track, but just to reset, I think the White Sox win 25 games out of that 61.
Oh, so you're only 6 behind me. I like this.
Yeah, I'm optimistic. Did you hear me? Optimistic.
All I heard is you're the ops.
I am not the ops. I'm only the ops to myself.
Ryan Poles will address the media this hour, and we will be bringing you that audio. What do you most want to hear? The Bears general manager address in his first press conference since being awarded an extension that runs through 2029.
Okay, I said this earlier. I'm going to say it again. I appreciate the transparency Ryan Poles I always have, especially when it comes to stuff like what he said over during the NFL Combine. But when you say things like, oh, there were red flags in the... And I'm summarizing here, I'm paraphrasing. When he talked about the red flags or maybe warning signs in training camp that happened vis-a-vis Caleb Williams' development, skipping steps, and the like, and how we saw that play out, you have the power to stop it. You have the power to acknowledge it. You have the power to intervene. You're the guy in charge. Show me and tell me how that's not going to happen again.
What do I want to hear from Ryan Poles? This is what I want to hear. Hey, I understand why you guys think that maybe I didn't deserve a contract extension, but we both know how this works. I had to get my contract tied to Ben Johnson's contract in terms of length. I understand mistakes were made before. I have learned from those mistakes, and I am supremely grateful for Kevin Warren and for the Bears to give me another opportunity to build a winner here. And I still stand by what I hope will be a mantra that comes true. We are going to take the North and never give it back. Not because I've done anything to this point to prove that that's going to happen, but with a second chance, I think I too can lead this team and be the GM that many of you wrongly thought I could be the first time around. It's my second act. Let's go.
That was your fanfic Ryan Poles
yep.
speech.
Yep.
We're getting zero of that.
We're not getting that. Which part is most likely of that? Like, can you pick out anything I said?
The part where he says, I'll be better, like acknowledges any concerns of
other
people.
I think he would acknowledge that he's been far from perfect. He has made mistakes. If you just say, I've made mistakes, now.
You don't even have to say that. The way you said it previously, mistakes were made. By who? Who knows? Who knows?
No, by
There's
me.
There's no way to know.
No, I'm saying if he acknowledged his mistakes.
We've already decided he didn't even hire the head coach, even though there's a ton of quotes.
Well,
you know?
Hold on. But I want to make sure I understand something. If he were to come out today and say, I made mistakes, right? Could you, Layla Rahimi, sitting in that chair, be like, you know what? I appreciate that. As opposed to saying, Ryan, tell me more about the mistakes you made. Tell me why you made the mistakes. Tell me why you wouldn't. That's why he doesn't say it.
When you open that door, like we didn't see your record, we didn't sit there as a football collective through that Seattle game that was 6-3.
Man, me and my dad at the house watching that, it was hilarious.
Ian happened into that game. Somebody needed to atone for that by itself.
And that was after Matt Eberflus.
The best play in that game didn't even count. It was a touchdown that got called back. Somebody needs to pay the price.
Number five.
This is Five on It with Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And this is our final question. On Saturday, the Bulls announced the signing of guard Yuki Kawamura to a two-way contract. Which player do you believe has a higher likelihood of being called up from the Windy City Bulls first? First-round draft pick Noah Essanay or Kawamura?
This really comes down to the question of, do you think a 5'8" player in the NBA is going to see the court at the association level? Think about it.
But he doesn't have to see the court. He just has to be called up and be on the bench.
That's the only qualifying thing.
A 5'8" dude sitting on the bench in today's NBA.
Yeah.
I love the story.
It could definitely happen. After watching Noah Essanay in Vegas, and I know he had some highlights, but he also had some lowlights. Oh, they took the poster down. They took the poster down?
I don't know why.
I enjoyed the poster.
Did we get a poster in there?
Yeah, it was the poster of him getting dunked on where he's looking at the camera like, ah.
Originally, we had a Tony Sacre Kemp bleu. Poster in here.
Yeah, Sacre bleu. Listen.
C'est si triste.
I think
croissant.
There's a chance that Essanay gets beat out here because he's so not NBA ready. He's just not NBA ready. That's the bottom line here. And you could see a situation where some guards get hurt and all of a sudden on the bench. Because let's be clear, Essanay ain't starting on the Bulls. At least not the guy I saw play in Vegas. That guy has no place on the Chicago Bulls right this second. He's not built for it yet. He's got to grow. Now, he could put some weight on between now and the start of the regular season.
I'm like, I don't think Yuki's growing anymore. But,
no, Yuki's not. But Yuki's like grown man strength already. Did you see his behind the back passes? Did you see his Showtime?
I mean, that is the way. If you're a short player in the NBA, you better be good at passing. Like, that is it. And you better steal a ball here and there, because otherwise, there might not be a place for you. In the world where Chris Paul is now entering his 21st season.
Yeah. Back to the Clippers,
back
right?
Back to the Clippers.
Back to the Clippers I go.
Be the final one, apparently. So that's the word.
I'm not ready for that either. I'm not ready for Rich Hill to retire. I'm not ready for Chris Paul to retire.
I definitely miss the banana boat. Those were the days.
They really were in so many ways.
Yeah, that's it.
Overrated ride as well, banana boat. Have you guys ever been on one?
No,
I'm good on that.
Yeah, you don't need it. You walk away with a tummy ache. So much bouncing.
Maybe you shouldn't eat before getting in the water, didn't you?
I was hungry, okay?
Yeah, that's your issue.